we talk about sin a lot in the book of Romans. I think we've seen that. And this week we're going to dig into the truth of basically who are we going to listen to in our daily life? Are we going to listen to our old sinful nature, which even though we, quote, died to that, we've crucified that nature, we all know that it can very easily resurrect. Now, last night we were at the dance there, and they were reading all the numbers for the who was winning what, and we got to the last part there, and one of these, the last prize was a two-night stay at the motel, and we had put our tickets in there, and they read this number, and I thought, man, I knew that, I thought I had that number, and of course I blamed my wife. I says, where did you put those tickets? Just like Adam blaming Eve. And we're looking around there, and they were like kind of getting there. And I said, I know, you got them. And I reached in my pocket. Guess where they were? In my pocket. And it is. It's so easy in our old nature to point the finger at everybody else. But looking at number one right here, me. How do I stand in relationship to my walk with God? And that's what this message is about this morning, is that I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be narcissistic. It's not all about me. As we come to faith in Christ, we find that he works on that old nature. He helps us to see some of the foolish things we've said and done. And now, as we've surrendered to Christ, we turn from that. And the Holy Spirit is here not to condemn us, but to convict us and show us the way through this. Condemnation, if you're feeling condemnation about anything, that is not from God. Condemnation does not come from God. It comes from Satan. He's the one that condemns us. The Holy Spirit convicts and always shows us the way out of this. And it's repentance and confession, and turning our lives, our hearts over to God and saying, Lord, here am I, change me, use me, work in me, and help me to be all that you've called me to be. And Paul, in the first two verses, verses 15 and 16, basically brings out that there's been a misunderstanding of grace. The question brought up here seems to come from those who are concerned that their justification before God, based on his grace, his undeserving favor, and the faith that we are called to, that Bob has been emphasizing each week here, will lead to moral failure because we're not by the letter of the law and just walking. Because it says so in God's word, we're going to, next week, I'm going to go into detail about this legalism, which is not a good thing. And sad to say, many times the church throughout history, in fact, there's plenty of churches today that, boy, legalism is it. Last night, what we did, we danced. It's like, whoa, that's terrible sin. Now, where in Scripture does it say that? It doesn't. In fact, it says, dance before the Lord. And I was dancing with my wife, and we had fun, didn't we? Even though I'm a klutz. But it is, it's just sad, and those are the kind of things that actually push people away from God. And we are in the business of building bridges. That's what Jesus did. He reached out to a hurting world. The Pharisees, they were quick to point their fingers. And Jesus was like, nah, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I come to reach out to a hurting world that doesn't see, that doesn't understand. And he loves us, and he loves them, and he is with us. And the Galatians had a hard time understanding the truth about grace and faith. They were big into legalism, living by the law, this list of do's and don'ts. And Paul reminds them, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? Now, this was in Galatians that Paul referred to the problem they were facing. And it is, many times we like to just go by the list. And what Scripture calls us to do is to have our hearts transformed by the Spirit of God. And it's not because I'm living by some list, but it's because I have a relationship with the living God, that He transforms my heart. And that's what Paul is saying to the Philippians. And he was going into all his legalistic, perfect righteousness. He says in the beginning of Philippians 3, he says, if someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He says, you want to do some comparing? He says, I've been circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Paul is saying, if you want to go by works of the law, man, I had it down. But guess what he was doing? He was killing Christians. He was jailing them. He was out against them. He was battling Jesus. And yet he thought he was right with God. And I just love this. In fact, our men's, we had a devotional. Where's Grant? I know he's here. There he is. We were, the other day, we talked about Philippians 3. And it says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. In other words, to not be a self-righteous, arrogant jerk, which is what he was, but now having a living faith, he has a heart. He has a heart for God, and he has a heart for people. And that's our call. And then he goes on, and he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, I want to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection in participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And it's like, wow, he got it. And this is what he's trying to communicate to the Romans. That just because we believe in grace and God's favor and faith doesn't mean that we're not obedient to God, no. But it changes the attitude of the heart. It's not because I have to. It's because I want to obey God's commandments. And that's what he goes into here in verses 17 and 18. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And as we recognize that sin is not our friend, we find the freedom of the gospel. This good news comes into our hearts. It's like bright light in a dark spot. And many times people want to hide from that light. And Scripture says, no, come into that light. And you'll find the light of God's Spirit will bring you freedom, will bring you fulfillment, will bring you a peace that this world cannot give. And thank God for that, that what we have in the gospel is good news. And we're not trying to be justified by the law. We're going to dig into that next week if we try to do that. And this is the thing, I'm preparing for next week, and I already see, man, this stuff applies to me, because guess what? I see in some of my own attitudes some legalistic righteousness, which is not good. Yeah, my wife says, oh, surprise. It's like, yeah, her prayers have been heard. And but the good thing is here is that you who are trying to be justified by the law, we are actually alienating ourselves from Christ if we do it that way. But Paul says to the Galatians, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So as I come to this faith in Jesus, I obey what he has commanded, not because I have to, because I want to, because I see what Satan offers, the sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all this wars against us, that those promises are empty promises. They don't work. There isn't happiness and fulfillment in doing all these things of our old nature that the world around us seems to plunge into and then think it's strange that we're not doing that. But thank God he brings us a freedom and a liberty. And as we surrender to the Lord, we find life that is truly life. In fact, 1 John chapter 5 says, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. And that's it. We recognize that those commands are for our own good, not to make life mean and nasty and not enjoyable. And this brings us to the third point here. And the benefit of surrendering to Jesus. In Paul verses 19 through 23 of chapter 6 here brings this across. He says, I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? And that's a good question. We sit there and look at our old nature and our old past, and we're like, oh, man. And thank God he doesn't hold any of that against us. Don't let your past drag you down. May you realize that God wants to use your past. And the things that you've experienced, you've gone through, as you've recognized God's love, his forgiveness, his acceptance, his grace, his mercy, this faith that we're called to, now you can reach out to hurting people all around us in the world and say, hey, I've been there and done that. And this is what Jesus did for me. And you can share it, not forcing it down their throats, but just the love, the compassion, the tenderness of God's Spirit reaching out. And then it goes on. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul uses a very natural illustration of this surrender, either to our old nature. And Scripture does say that there is pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, it's fun for a while. But the devil never brings up consequences. He never brings up the long-term reaction in life to this. And what Scripture brings across, that as we surrender to God, we have life that is truly life. And the result is that we can go into the world, and the fruit of God's Spirit is here to work in and through us, common, ordinary people. And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 says, it is love, it is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Have all of that you'd like. Now, how many would say we want those things? I do. And why is it so hard to live that way? This is the battle Paul's talking about here. It's like, hey, who are we going to surrender to? That old nature which wars against us, or the new nature given us by the Spirit of God living within us as we surrender our lives and yield to him? We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives within us. He quickens us. He gives us the kind of life that God wants us to have. And as we see the results of this, then these fruits do fill our lives. Last night, as I was sharing that question with Michelle there, that I figured she had the ticket, and then I found it was in my pocket. Guess what? There was a little like, there you go, buddy. And my wife is going, yes! And that's what we need to see, is the results of our faith in Jesus. And this, I just want to read a few passages in closing here. And I want us to just recognize the great gift that we have in our personal relationship with Jesus as we believe. He died on the cross for our sins. He's come into our lives to save us, to transform us, and to send us out into a world and not get weighed down by all the garbage. And believe me, it weighs me down. My wife, I get talking on subjects, and she's looking at me like, don't go there. And it's like, yeah, I know. But just listen to this passage out of Philippians 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Jesus, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Boy, do we need to take that to heart. Psalm 34, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this morning, as we are making our way through the book of Romans, I want to encourage you, that's the one we need to surrender to, Jesus. He is our friend. He is our brother. And he is our great God and our Savior. And he loves us. He's for us. And don't get weighed down by all the things of this life. And let's move forward. And it's exciting to see the crowd that we have this morning. And I want you to go from this place today liberated, encouraged in your faith. Fight the good fight. And Michelle has graciously consented to sing a song here in conclusion, and then Bob will take over from there. So, Michelle.